Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back to The Wolverine Live. I'm John Borton. We're joined by Tom Crawford, as is the case on Tuesday nights. Tom Crawford, we're going to talk about your television show here before long because there's some interesting stuff going on. But yeah. Welcome back to The Wolverine Live. We got a lot of good stuff to go over tonight.
Oh, my God. We're sitting here in May right now, and we never run out of content, JB, when it comes to Michigan football, Michigan basketball. And we have Michigan basketball that's hanging out there. Just, you know, it's still, there's still a lot of, crossing of the T's and dotting the I's and all that stuff as far as that personnel. But this, you know, the football thing is interesting because the portal deadline, what was Sunday night, I know we're going to talk about that, not just Michigan, but other schools, another particular school on that. But it's like, they're in the portal now, but you can tell you, I mean, it's fair game for quite unlimited amount of time right now. If my understanding, I mean, you can grab somebody anytime, you know, up until when the season starts or close to, this is crazy, crazy times in college football and college basketball.
Yes. No doubt about it. there's lots of stuff going on. We follow it all, but I'm telling you what, you know, that it all comes back around to Michigan football sooner or later. And we've got a whole bunch of things, despite the fact that we're a few months away from seeing Michigan football live, you've got it going on, and there's always something. And I will say this, I was captivated by Michigan and the NFL draft this time around because you know what, it's one of those deals where you watch these guys play for several years and you just wonder with the amount of success that they've had and all of what has gone into these last couple of seasons, they're in the spotlight. How would that translate to getting guys drafted? And there's Michigan at the very top of the listings in terms of guys taken. And, you know, I know you follow this stuff, Tom, because you like to know, okay, where are the Wolverines going to be?
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, kind of a fun thing this year. You start right off with the team some call America's team, Wolverines.
Yeah. A little unsettling. You know, typically I follow and even support and want to win when it comes to playoff time, unless they're going against the Lions, obviously. Michigan teams. I mean, teams with that have Michigan personnel on it. And the Dallas Cowboys grabbed two of them and Mozzie Smith and Luke Schoonmaker. I was really happy about that in the second round. Luke was the 58th pick, and I think Luke's going to be, I mean, Mozzie's going to be good, obviously. I think it's a good fit for him, but I think Scooney's going to be one of those tight ends that can get open. I mean, he's not a Brock Bauer. He's not like the Georgia guys that can, you know, get separation, but he can get open. He can get open. He might not take it to the house, but he can get open. And I think he's going to have a great career, you know, as long as he stays healthy. But to have 9 Michigan players, 3 more than Ohio State, although Ohio State had 3 in the first round, I thought that was very cool. It's fun to watch the winged helmet. You know, people out there, the highlights when the Michigan kid gets drafted. You know, but one thing that really I'm going to make this observation right off the bat. I mean, what the biggest thing about different with watching the NFL draft now is when you see a player, you see him in 2 uniforms. You know, you see him the original team he is with, and then the team that he transferred to. You see highlights from 2 teams for a lot of these kids. It's really showing. I know we're going to talk about this in a little bit, the impact of the transfer portal.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, and some teams, again, we'll talk about this, but some teams getting better and better through the transfer portal, and some teams don't even want to think about the transfer portal these days. They're cringing a little bit. But again, that is going to be a discussion for moments from now. Let me ask you this. How about a kicker? 3rd round in the NFL draft. There were people that were saying, wait, where's that coming from? That doesn't happen, because those are the guys that you pick up as free agents at the end or in the 7th round or whatever.
Yeah. Jake Moody. I remember this is a long time ago, so the young people of the Wolverine.com will just cringe again. But Tom Skladany was a punter at Ohio State back in the 70s, okay? And he got drafted by the Lions. I think it was either 1st round or 2nd round. And he ended up being a great punter, obviously. But, I mean, it was crazy at that time. But, you know, and so since that time, we really don't see that many kickers and punters get drafted. But for Jake Moody to go in the 3rd round to a really good team in the 99th pick overall in the San Francisco 49ers, I think was so cool. And it was not only the distance in his range, it's the clutchness of it. I mean, think about that Illinois game, John. Think about the pressure he was under on both those kicks down the stretch. He's amazing. And I'm so happy for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Great kid. Never forget Chris Ballas and I running into Jake Moody's parents out in a restaurant outside of Penn State a couple years ago. And this was before, I mean, this was before on the way to the first Big Ten championship, and things were kind of still up in the air, and the way things have unfolded. The 2 teams that he got to play with down the stretch, the fact that they made the playoffs, the fact that they beat Ohio State in that kind of fashion, just a dream scenario for Jake Moody, and really amazing. Before we move on to, and we're going to talk special teams, so his name's going to come up again, but in the rest of the draft, what were the things that jumped out to you that really caught your attention?
Well, what kind of – not maybe not frustrated me, but disappointed me, let's just say. Ronnie Bell, I thought he was going to go higher. I wanted the Lions to draft Ronnie Bell. I just love this kid. And I guess when you have a knee injury, you're damaged goods or something like that. But he bounced back from that. And I you know, once again, the Niners are going to be, a favorite team of mine, because they got two fresh Wolverines on it. And Jake Moody and Ronnie Bell. So that one, just how long it took, you know, he was, 253rd pick. I mean, he was 6 from the end from Mr. Irrelevant. That one, I'm glad he got drafted, though. And then Brad Robbins, though, getting drafted in 6th round, I think that was pretty cool. Once again, that shows you the void. I know we're going to talk about this when you shot me the rundown about specialty teams when it comes to kicker and punter. The Wolverines in 2023. That's a big void in Brad Robbins. He was a very, very dependable player. And then one other thing that in the Mike Mike Morris going to a very good Seattle team, which had a terrific, terrific draft. And Mike Morris's comments about Jim Harbaugh, how much he appreciated what he did and how it was a testimonial about how prepared that Jim Harbaugh gets his, you know, to go to the next level and to be a unified team and a winning team. So it's been a good few days here for the Michigan Wolverines football program.
There's no doubt about it. And those two special teams players that you mentioned, guys that you just became as absolute centerpieces of these Michigan teams. I mean, they did what they did for so long. It was like, okay, you just here we go, plug and play again. You got your punter back. You've got your place kicker back. I talked to 4-Hour Football Preview, which is we're right in the heat of getting that ready for the next year. And today I talked to a very familiar name from the past in Michigan kicking. That would be Brandon Kornbluh, a former Michigan kicker that gives us that is now a kicking coach, and he runs his own service. Absolutely. And he still has a lot to do with, he's worked with Michigan kickers. And it was a fascinating conversation. He led with this. I'll give you a little peek inside of the Wolverine football preview issue that'll be coming out. He talked about these two guys and said, look, the one thing that you really have to remember this year, and even coaches have to remember and fans have to remember, is that you, the two guys going out the door as a combination, might just be the best Michigan place kicker punter that we have ever seen.
Yeah.
And you know, that gets your attention. Wow. Yeah. You know, think about that. And so that you almost have to be kind of prepared for, you know, the new guy stepping in. We've heard about Tommy Doman forever. Yeah. And now they've picked up a transfer kicker, and they've got a young guy that's a freshman that is going to be in the mix. But you know, I think the message there was, hey, people are going to have to be a little bit patient because there might be a little glitch here and there.
Yeah, when I think about Michigan kickers, you know, Ali Haji Sheik was the first scholarship kicker at the University of Michigan. And he was dynamite. Mike Gillette was, I mean, you can go through it. I mean, there's been some good ones. Okay. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, what Jake Moody was just dependability. I mean, it's like you felt confident about every kick, and then those clutch kicks that we talked about. So it's going to be a while. I know there's going to, the pressure, I mean, fortunately it won't be super amount of pressure, when you're playing, group of five non-conference teams early on. I'm thinking those game, and even the first Rutgers, you know, the first Big Ten game against Rutgers at home, to get four home games, that would be this is where it plays in well, where he's not going to have a game-winning kick against like Texas the following year, when the Longhorns come to the Big House. So you're right, it's going to be but it's good competition, and it's great to have a transfer of the kid from Louisville who's got a lot of experience, obviously.
Yeah, you're talking about young Mr. Turner, who has had he's been money. Last year had a great year, 20 for 22, and that was basically from under 50 yards and out. A little more inconsistent from beyond there, like all of them are. My wondering here, and I asked this question to Brandon Kornbluh, is do we maybe get a one kicker from inside the 50, maybe somebody that shows up with the biggest leg from beyond that, how do we go about that?
Yeah, the old Frank Titus Tim Killian combination back in the late 60s. Okay, where are you going with this? I mean, Michigan's had a couple, you know, a lot of teams do have that short kicker, long kicker, situational kicker decision-making, who's going to kick this time. But yeah, I'm thrilled that they're getting depth at kicker, and punting is, you know, the same situation. I mean, you got to have great special team play, and special teams are huge. And Michigan is going to have, that's that one. I mean, we always talk about offense and defense. Who's ahead? Who is it? Defense going to be ahead of the offense, or offense going to have the defense? Special team play is going to be great. And that's why I'm thrilled that Caleb Colazar is going to be healthy again. I mean, he's the best special team player on that team. Besides, you know, if you want to extract the kicker, I mean, is important, but so it's important. And that's where depth also comes through. Because when you have a deep team as Michigan has, ultimately the output from your special team play is usually goes up.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll keep a close eye on that. We've been hearing about Doman forever. I think going to want him to concentrate the most on the punting aspect of the game. I think that's his strength. But I will be very, very interested to see how the field goal kicking shakes out, because it's one of those deals that it's one thing to do it in practice, but then the games roll around and you've got the transfer kid that has been in games, but not necessarily in front of 110,000 people. And then these other guys, you know, you're okay. It's time the brightest lights go on. So that's going to be a fascinating, and I think not as talked about, aspect of Michigan football going into this season. We know they're loaded on offense. We know they're loaded on defense. We've been talking about those sides of the ball, but boy, well, those special teams are going to be, as always, a big deal as you go along.
You know, Mike Gillette, back in those great teams in mid-80s, he punted, he kicked off, and he place kicked, okay? And he was good. He was good at all. I mean, he had a fake punt for a touchdown against Michigan State in the 88 game. But I think now, you know, we're at the specialty era right now. I mean, you got to have a good kickoff guy, especially with the wind. I mean, the wind at Michigan Stadium, those November winds, I mean, you're dealing with that, and you're not somebody who's going to kick it out of bounds. And so there's a lot, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of a point of emphasis in that decision making, who does the kickoffs and who field goals and the punting. So that's one of those question mark areas, very few question mark areas, an area of uncertainty, I guess, if you will, for Michigan football in 2023.
You led me right into my next topic, because I'm telling you what, we're sitting here talking about special teams right off the bat, and really there's a kind of a where's the beef aspect of this Michigan football team, not in the sense that where's the beef on either side of the ball. It's there. Where is the beef, as in where is the argument? Where is the complaint to be made? It's few and far between. You're looking for reasons to wonder about this football team going in. They haven't left a whole lot to complain about compared to so many off seasons. Even last year, after, you know, you had the breakthrough, you beat Ohio State, you made the playoffs, all that, there was coming from directly from the South down US 23, there was the fact, oh yeah, well, they had a little fluke in the snow and they've got to come to Columbus this year, and just wait till you see Ohio State's revenge. And that, so there was some lingering doubt. This year, not so much. I mean, you got it done twice in a row against the Buckeyes. You know, from seeing this group of coaches deal with things, that offense is going to be operating, I believe, at a pretty high level. They have the rushing attack that Tom Crawford has long coveted to see as far as a return. The way they've gone about getting people to the quarterback, you've got some people calling this program Edge Rusher U.
It
I understand. There's things that you can worry about, but it seems so far diminished from certainly the worst of times back in 2020 and directly before that when you're giving up 62 points to Ohio State or those sorts of things. Compared to now, it's like, okay, bring on a season.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you talk about that defense and you know, the edge rusher, but the most critical part, there's a couple critical part, and I'm not really concerned about it, but I'm more intrigued by how good they're going to be relative to creating a pass rush up the middle and getting quarterback pressures up the middle. And I'm talking about when you're talking about with Chris Jenkins and Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham, kind of in the middle-ish, you know what I mean? Pushing things. That's going to be interesting if Michigan can get a pass rush. And in particular, you know, with Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham. So that's I'm not too concerned about that. The kicking thing, like we talked about, is a concern. But I'm concerned, like everybody who's really into the depth chart of Michigan football, is that left corner position or the right corner, whatever it is, opposite Will Johnson. I think Will is the left corner or boundary or field. I'm not sure how they reference it. But, and, you know, so who's going to – is it Amorian Walker's going to be – I mean, who's the guy that Michigan can count on when Marvin Harrison Jr. comes to town? Not that they can't worry about it before then, but I mean, you're going to – I mean, I know the matchups are – maybe, but when you've got incredible wide receiver talent like Ohio State has, there's a lot of time to prepare for that. But it's the corner position. Is it not with you, that other opposite corner of Will Johnson?
Oh, sure. That's very valid, and it's wide open right now after, you know, had the early declaration from Jim Harbaugh that Amorian Walker looked like a starter in the first 2 days of spring ball. Well, by the end of spring ball, there was concern there because he was giving up receptions in the spring game and all of that. And the kid is a lights out athlete, but he's got to learn the position, learn how to play cornerback, learn the ins and outs and the intricacies. And that's his big job this summer. And depending on how far he progresses, he still could be the guy. Otherwise, there are other people that can plug in there. There are five or six guys that are going to be battling for significant time at that spot. We'll see what happens. You referenced the interior rush. I can tell you for a fact, having talked to two of these guys just recently about two of the interior guys, they are all but guaranteeing. They're saying, watch. You watch the interior line getting a bigger push. We made that our goal, our whole push in the offseason. Mike Elston has his focus on it, and it's going to happen. They're saying that you are going to see more push from Michigan's interior offensive line. So those are things to watch. There's no question about it. So let me ask you this. You look at Michigan and you're looking for those issues elsewhere. They're kind of covering their eyes a little bit, and that's where Press Pass comes back in. Tom Crawford is on that show. It comes on Fox 47 around here on Sunday nights, and he is hip deep in Spartans or those connected with Michigan State. Our mutual friend Rico Beard is one of them, and you look at a Michigan State team that all of a sudden people are saying, "What is going on?" The quarterback, starting quarterback, veteran goes to the transfer portal. Their best receiver goes to the portal. You get a cornerback going to the portal. Yep. Tom Crawford lives in East Lansing. Are the guys that you know, pick up the trash and do other essential functions in East Lansing, have they gone to the portal too? Or is anyone left?
Well, the big joke was that image of Sparty going to the portal, and USC picked up Sparty and flipped him into a Trojan mascot. Full disclosure, Charles Brantley, the corner, has now opted to go back or out of the portal back to Michigan State.
Okay,
he's doing some damage control, if you will. Keon Coleman, we all know about Keon Coleman. I mean, he had a hell of a first half. against Michigan. You know, yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, I was a little bit concerned about that dude at halftime. Like, but Michigan made incredible amount of changes defensively and shut him down to nothing in the second half. But Keon Coleman he's the kind of guy that I wish Michigan had in this regard. He's a basketball player as well. He's on Tom Izzo's team. He's a 50-50 ball catcher, a guy who can position himself, get leverage, and out, you know, and make a grab that Michigan has lacked that kind of receiver. Now, Mel Tucker's scrambling to get Keon Coleman. In fact, he had a meeting yesterday afternoon and one again today. So he might go back. But regardless, I mean, they've had upwards of 20 kids, Michigan State has, enter the transfer portal since their last game of the season against Penn State. Or actually, yeah, that was their last game because they didn't play a bowl game, okay? Peyton Thorne definitely going. Peyton Thorne is a former captain, right? And a 2-year starter. And this is this is why I have the Hunter Dickinson thing I have a problem with. Mm-hmm. When you have a captain leave your team, that's a red flag thing to me. And that's not good because that's leadership. And if I'm Peyton Thorne or if I'm Hunter Dickinson and I'm a captain and I leave my team, I would think thoroughly about that because that hurts your credibility because you are a leader on that team. I mean, you've been honored with this captaincy, which is, I know people in the corporate world that love captains of football teams. They're great leaders, or captains of any athletic team. They're great leaders. And for a captain to leave, that's not a good sign for Michigan State. Now, there was rumblings that Noah Kim was beating him out at quarterback, and because Peyton Thorne did have his struggles last year. But still, I mean, I'm shocked he didn't stay to compete and try to win that job.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's I had heard that Michigan State was trying to reel these guys back in. But just the fact that you have got guys that are prominent going to the portal, as you said, there's no question that's a red flag. And so we're going to keep there are people that – sometimes listen into the podcast that don't want us talking about other teams besides Michigan. Well, hey, guess what? Michigan resides in the Big Ten. This affects everything. And so we will continue.
This portal thing, this is a discussion topic for all the On3 sites. I mean, it's relevant because there's also availability. I mean, this is the NFL free agency on steroids here at the intercollegiate level. I mean, there's kids just, well, now the deadline's hit, so you got all these kids that don't know if they're going to come back into their team, if they're welcome back into their present team, or are they going to go somewhere else? Will they find a home? Or are they going to be twisted in the wind with no place to go, which is the fear, which is a gamble aspect of it. So it's going to be interesting, but, the Michigan State thing, is there were some little minor meltdowns here. The people in the Spartan Nation that surrounds me, like, what the hell's going on here? We have this $95 million coach, and there's players leaving the team coming off of 5-7, and so yeah, there's a lot of uneasiness, but we'll see who shows up for everybody. And sometimes in the portal, you can have you live by the sword, you die by the sword, what goes around comes around. The portal gave Mel Tucker his one solid season, a great season, 11 wins in Kenneth Walker. Well, that's the Lord, giveth. Now that some of this is taken away now, but that what goes around, it's just the way it is. I mean, that's the situation right now we reside in.
Now you are locked in, and there are a few people that just might be regretting it. Tom Crawford said in an earlier podcast, he wasn't as worried about Michigan State this year. That worry might just be easing even a little bit more. But yeah, you've got to go to East Lansing. So let's you still have to be ready for that game and on guard at all.
They'll play their best game. They'll play their best game, and that's always a concern. The environment. There's a couple environments that the environment challenges you. You got obviously Columbus, Penn State, but the animosity of Spartan Stadium, you've been there countless times. I mean, you can feel it in the press box. I mean, and it's going to be loud. And this, now we're at the toxic level of the Michigan State rivalry. There's a lot of animosity. It's been ramped up after what happened in the tunnel and other things following that. So, yeah, I shouldn't be taking anything for granted.
There you go. And there he is, Tom Crawford, the gem of the Wolverine Live. And there you go. Look at the banner down there. We do want to take a moment to shout out the sponsor of our Tuesday night recruiting show and a longtime partner of the Wolverine in Lewis Jewelers.
Oh, yeah.
Simple question, guys. Is your daughter's engagement ring bigger than your wife's? If the answer is yes, great news. Lewis Jewelers can help. It's stress-free and easy working with one of their non-commissioned expert trusted advisors finding that perfect diamond. So stop by today, guys, and fix the family issue. Lewis Jewelers, your diamond store, and so much more since 1921. Visit them at their new location, 300 South Maple Road, Ann Arbor, or online at lewisjewelers.com. That's lewisjewelers.com. LewisJewelers.com. Lewis Jewelers, where Ann Arbor gets engaged. And we are going to get re-engaged in the conversation over Michigan football, and that's an easy thing to do. Tom Crawford, have you been by the stadium to see the work on these scoreboards that they're putting in? I hear these reports, and I haven't seen them in person, but I've seen pictures. And I'll tell you what, you start to wonder, how much bigger can they get?
Yeah, you know, at the spring game, you could see the framework on, you know, the on the south end, and then the north end was matching that. And now I saw the images when they had graduation ceremonies last Saturday at the big house. And it's going to be amazing. And what the amazing part is the technology that's going to come out of those boards and the $40+ million of technology coming out of those boards. So I think college football is striving, and Michigan's right in that, is striving to be the ultimate fan experience. And Michigan might be opening with East Carolina, and you know, but there's so much excitement about the 2023 team where everybody's gonna want to go there Labor Day weekend and go to that game, but they want to see the scoreboards too. I mean, that's the new toy to look at, and that just fits into all the other upgrades that are happening in Ann Arbor, including the construction of Elbow Field. You know, they're gonna have a huge, massive, very expensive dormitory there, and freshman dorm there, and all the other stuff that's going on. It's crazy. It's prosperity at the University of Michigan.
There you go. Opening with East Carolina, you'll get to see the scoreboards for the first time officially, but ending with a team we all know, and in late November, I'm kind of hoping that those scoreboards, you get to see the high definition aspect by seeing the snowflakes as they fall from the sky that morning, and you get ready for Michigan, Ohio State. Here's, we touched on this already, but I really want to pose the question directly to you, Tom Crawford. In your mind, have the Wolverines, who spent the better part of two decades in more frustration against Ohio State than they have ever in all the years that they've played football against them, have they turned the corner against the Buckeyes? I encountered someone who is very close to Michigan that expressed to me, you know, I wasn't going to say so until they won two in a row. Well, they've done that now. Michigan turned the corner against the Buckeyes?
Well, I mean, turned the corner and pulled away is a thing that I want. And that's, turn the corner and pull away and get some separation from Ohio State. That's defined to me beating them a third time and beating them in Ann Arbor. this year. So you beat them three straight times. I mean, Ohio State was, dominated Michigan for so many years in this century. So a lot of payback still is looming out there that's got to be served up to Ohio State by Michigan. And so, yeah, they've turned the corner in this regard. And beating them back to back, that's great. And the recruiting thing for 2024, that's pretty outstanding what they're doing in that class. The recruiting thing, I know for a fact, it's gotten Georgia's coaching staff's attention, what Michigan is doing recruiting. Mm. And when you do that, this is Georgia Bulldogs. We have like 4 or 5 stars in their 25 class. You're doing something good. You get Georgia's attention. So, Michigan is killing it. Preseason number 2. I know preseason doesn't matter. Preseason number 2, USA Today just came out. Michigan Wolverines are second in the nation in the top 25 post-spring football ranking. So, they've turned the corner, but I want more than turning the corner. And I want some separation. And that will take place in late November.
Yeah, that's right. The suffering went on far longer than 2 years. So guys like Tom Crawford and many Michigan onlookers want more. I'll tell you what, who wants more? I'm going to give you one guy from each side of the football that really, really want the Buckeyes again this year. One would be on the offensive side, Blake Corum, who didn't get to really participate in that game. He started, but he just didn't have it physically to be able to compete in that game. He is going to be absolutely licking his chops to get at the Buckeyes. And on the other side of the football, we talked about the cornerback situation. Will Johnson, he's got a little grudge in his hip pocket for the Buckeyes because he, in recruiting, did not feel properly respected by that team from Columbus, Ohio. And I think those two guys are going to be among a very motivated Michigan team, two of the ones that are highest up on that list.
Did you imagine the pregame analysis, the Will Johnson, Marvin Harrison Jr.? That's Charles Woodson and David Boston 2.0. You know what I mean? As far as the attention is going to be drawn. And, I just like the idea that Michigan now has Ohio State-esque athletes. And now Michigan is on an even playing field when it comes to personnel and it's getting better and the scheme is getting better and the depth is awesome. And that number 2 there, Will Johnson, I don't mean to overhype him, but man, I'm feeling All-American. I'm feeling first-round draft pick after next year, not this coming year, but after the following year, he'll probably obviously leave. Barring injury, knock on wood, he's gonna have a sensational career for the Michigan Wolverines.
All right, we got some clock management issues here because we're coming down in the fourth quarter, and we want to hit some real quickly. We'll switch over to basketball. The portal talent that Michigan has basketball has coming in. What is it that has grabbed your attention? Are they getting enough to try and make up for what they have lost or are in the process of losing? How's this going to impact a roster that is going to go through some real churn?
Well, I got to know, is Caleb Love, is he definitely coming? I got to know these for sure things. You know what I mean? Yeah. This goes back to what happened last year. You know, obviously losing a kid to Illinois, at the 11th hour. I'm worried about, Hunter Dickinson to me is gone. I mean, are we on the same page with that?
Oh, that would be that's kind of like those guys that decide to go that are considering the NFL early. I consider, okay, he's gone. If you want to surprise me, you want that big, delightful surprise, fine. But when they make those sorts of moves, you kind of say, all right, he's out the door unless something really turns around.
Well, they need a scoring, a power four who can shoot. I mean, and then they got to get a 5. Olivier Kamwa, the kid, is that how you pronounce his name? The kid from Tennessee, okay? Mm-hmm. So he's dancing with the NBA thing concept, right? And so we don't know where he's going. And you know, I read Ballas's piece. There's some other kids that are you know, one from the Dominican Republic, a 24 recruit who might reclassify. I mean, I'm hearing some wild stuff because Michigan just has Terrace Reed down there at you know, as far as playing center. And that's problematic. I mean, yeah, he's got a lot of potential. He's doing well, but his hands are not exactly soft, and he doesn't necessarily finish around the hoop. But there's a lot of concerns about this basketball program right now in terms of personnel. Is Juwan going to fill all these 13 scholarship holes? Is there going to be ones that are going to carry over? And what kind of year it's going to be? It was a bad, you know, it was 18 and 16 this past year on and not getting an NCAA. But that is not acceptable by Michigan basketball standards, in my opinion. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. You can't to have two in a row, have two in a row in that. Yeah, no. Okay. So he's got to figure this thing out. And the other thing he's got to figure out, John, he's got to figure out what he can do better as a coach. So when these games that are his team is in, like there's seven games that went down to two possession, one possession, you know, and he went like three in 15 games there were like double or two possession plus whatever or less, and you win 3 out of 15, you're 3-12. He's got to have that clutch time aspect of Michigan basketball has got to come back in the equation.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that. And, you know, you anticipated my next question. What does Michigan basketball have to prove in the coming year? I think you win some of those clutch games and you have a better season if you have the right amount of glue guys and not just the superstars, but guys that are savvy and know how to play. That's why I'm going to point to one guy that I'm interested in seeing that's coming in. You talk about this Namari Burnett that spent a year at Texas Tech, transferred to Alabama. There's an ACL, has to sit out, but last year came back and, you know, he hurt his wrist and missed a fair amount of time. I just talked to a guy from Alabama today. And they noted that he lost his starting spot after trying to come back from that wrist injury. But this is a kid that can really play some defense on the perimeter for you, that can get in a pretty good hot streak shooting the three, that can do some of the things that Michigan desperately lacked at times last season. So, you know, I'm thinking if this kid has a healthy season where he doesn't have to worry about those things and gets an opportunity to play a little bit bigger role, I want to see what he can do. I want to see how some of these parts that we just don't know about enough about yet get put together. And I think that's a big item on the checklist for Michigan basketball at this point, how they do that putting together with guys that maybe aren't super headline grabbers.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about all these guys, you know, and talk about Caleb Love's experience and five. You can have all these talented kids coming in, but it's that getting these moving parts to work together, which we didn't see jump off the court last year. We didn't see continuity. We didn't see playing together as a team. And that has to be fixed. And if it is, I mean, Michigan could be really good when you look at all the personnel. But once again, finding out when they're and I don't know when that podcast that we're going to have when we actually know when all what's going to be the roster. Michigan's final when's it going to release that? This is the final roster for the 23-24 Michigan basketball season. When that happens, I don't know when that happens, July?
When that happens, we'll spend more time yes. than rather than just the tail end of a Wolverine lap.
Yeah, go front and center. Yes, exactly. Something to really, there's some meat on the bone to really evaluate. I'm looking forward to that, Jake.
There you go. You talked about teamwork. We always have it here on the Wolverine Live every Tuesday night. We thank Tom Crawford for being here with us. We will do it again next week. And I'll tell you what, there will be developments between now and then will need to be addressed, and other aspects of talking about the impending football season that people are always always interested, always want to hear these things broken down and picked apart. And we're here to do it. Tom Crawford, great having you with us.
Well, the passion of Michigan football, basketball, the University of Michigan is off the scale right now. I'm just glad to be part of it. Thanks for having me on again, JB.